morning and welcome to a Monday. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. You're listening to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris Vanderkook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. How are you?
Well, I think we're all trying to get on the mend, as many people have been dealing with the same bug that's been floating around HPR
these
days.
Indeed. I was a little surprised by the report on the soil at Sand Island.
From Friday, when we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if that's going to have any implications with what may happen with Sand Island as a homeless encampment. You know that last week the Hawaii Department of Health released that report on the soil samples taken from Sand Island. And unlike past studies, the results this time around seem to allay the concerns over contamination. That would appear to be a game changer for last year's plan from Honolulu Mayor Kurt Caldwell to stage a temporary homeless shelter at Sand Island. Even with the new test findings, homeless advocate Catherine Jean is making a preemptive strike at that idea. She's with us this morning to explain why. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
When we first talked about this idea last summer, there were many folks who were in opposition to it, saying that this is not a place that would be appropriate to put people who are homeless, families who are homeless, and that's then the issue with soil contamination came up, and it seemed to shut down that idea. Now, as of last week, Department of Health saying, well, maybe the soil isn't contaminated after all. That doesn't seem to stop the first part of the argument that it's not an appropriate place from your perspective.
Right. The issue of toxicity was really part of a overall comprehensive critique of the ineffectiveness and inappropriateness of this proposal regarding safety. The toxicity is one factor of the safety issue that we brought to the DLNR, BLNR. The vast majority of the safety issues had to do with how this facility was constructed, what would be available as far as water and resources, if it was safe due to its proximity, being isolated away from the general population, away from schools, away from stores to get food, that kind of thing. So really, regardless of whether or not Sand Island is toxified, the issues relating to the safety and the welfare of the possible families with children, as well as the chronically homeless placed out there, outweighs any sort of question of whether to put them out there.
And then there's that other issue of whether or not the first Housing First dollars should be used for that.
Yeah, we really think that Housing First dollars should be just kept to Housing First, because a temporary homeless encampment flies in the face of best practices for Housing First. By definition, Housing First is immediate permanent housing and wraparound services, in a nutshell. Having them placed for 2 to 3 years in a temporary homeless encampment is not that, and it would be a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Have you had any indication from the city that they are, in fact, looking at this idea more seriously now that we've had this toxicity report come out?
Well, the city has not averred any stance on whether or not they're going to go forward with this, but they do need to have somewhere to place houseless people now that CITLA is being enforced and all of these bans and laws that are criminalizing the houseless living in public spaces. What we see on the ground level is a massive increase of houseless persons living in public spaces. They're not being coerced into shelters because of various very valid reasons. Shelters oftentimes are discriminatory. They're not safe, simply don't have any space to fit the entire unsheltered population. So the question becomes, if they're not moving into shelter, where are you going to put them? I think the general public is seeing this day to day, with more houseless people being visible in the places where they live, in residential areas and places where they shop. It really hasn't been affecting in a positive way the issue of houselessness in a progressive, productive avenue that eventually results in permanent housing. And so what do? We try to figure out places to put them that aren't really well thought out, like Sand Island or other temporary houseless encampments, which in the past have proven to be ineffective.
We also are told that the shelters on Oahu are not filled and that that's part of the problem.
Right. I believe Focus came out with some pretty telling data, longitudinal data, that suggests that, you know, these laws aren't being effective in what they say that they were was supposed to do, which was
get people into shelter.
Get people into shelter, right. And so that underscores a very important fact that there is a really good reason why massive numbers of houseless people are not going or getting into shelters, and that needs to be taken a look at.
Specifically, what do they tell you when, you know, you can say, but here's a place for you to go, and from the outside it may look like that's a very viable option, but to someone who is looking at being the person going into that shelter who says, no, I'm not going to go, why do they say that?
For good reasons. The main one is that they can't get in. And the reason why they can't get in is sometimes many times the shelters are full. Most other times is that they need ID as a requirement to get into shelters or stay for a prolonged period of time in the shelter. And what's happening out there is that these houseless encampments are being swept, or what they call enforcements on the poor, wherein which all of their belongings are taken from them. And with those belongings include social security cards, state IDs, driver's license, birth certificates, all of the things that you need to gain employment, to get shelter, to get any sort of benefits, and to get even into housing first. Now, once those IDs are taken, you know, you have a policy that's being implemented on a weekly basis almost island-wide that is actually preventing people from maintaining or entering into shelter. Other reasons include staff that are discriminatory towards or abusive towards residents. Now, this isn't categorical, okay? So there are certain staff that are great at what they do in shelters, and then there are other staff that are not.
And do you know this, I mean, firsthand with I mean, this is sounding a bit like hearsay.
Well, absolutely. This we wouldn't be saying this publicly unless there are dozens and dozens of people that we have been interviewing and surveying that are saying this about shelters, which is why they're not going.
And are they naming those shelters where they won't go?
Yes. So oftentimes they can't get into Next Step because Next Step is usually full, and they have to check on a daily basis, and they just give up. A lot of comments that are negative are directed to IHS, and I kind of understand why all of those comments against IHS are all negative, because IHS has allied with the mayor and the city council in this criminalization campaign against the poor, promoting sit-lie, making statements publicly that sit-lie works for their best advantage, and it doesn't work towards anyone's advantage. Laws like sit-lie and the laws that permit the city to engage in sweeps on homeless encampments are basically and thoroughly inhumane. It is absolutely horrendous to witness and to try to give services to a family, a homeless family, who has lost everything at threat of arrest because of these laws.
As you say, that getting into a shelter may mean that you have to have proof of ID, which if it's been swept, you don't have, and other reasons that there might be vacancies. But given the vast number of people who we see who are still homeless, I mean, it's not a huge number maybe compared to other cities, but the very visible homeless that we see, that there's no one really you think that can be placed into shelters, so that the argument could be made, well, the shelters really are full up? I mean, are there not enough people coming behind those who maybe can't get in, but there's still some who can?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And the ones who can are confronted with prohibitive steps in which to enter into shelter, like they need to prove that they've been homeless for a certain amount of time. They need other agencies to write them a letter. That takes more time. They need ID eventually to do a background check if they get in. They also need to pay a monthly fee, which sometimes can be very considerable, especially if you're houseless and you don't have ID and you can't get work, or you lose your job because of a raid. How are you then able to pay for the monthly fee? For people who have residency in Hawaii, that fee is $90 per person per month. If you can't prove that you've been in Hawaii for at least 30 days, that number jumps to $400 a month.
So at this point, given the fact that there's no discussion whether or not Sand Island may be revivified as an idea, you're still looking at the same thing that we've been seeing for quite a while now. What's the next step in your mind now?
I believe that funding needs to be pumped into the Housing First program, because Housing First works. We believe that the state has a really good grasp. I reiterate that. The state has a really good grasp of a true Housing First program. Funds need to be allocated en masse to address the rising number of homeless. The largest, fastest growing population is houseless families with children. On top of that, we need to expand the scope of Housing First to not just address chronically homeless persons, but also families with children and seniors as well.
And then that goes back to the whole issue of affordable housing and public housing. And we're going to talk about that a little later on today with Victor Gemignani from Hawaii Appleseed. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Catherine John is the executive director and co-founder of the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery. You're listening to The Conversation on member-supported HBR2. It's now 8:15. Coming up, rewriting 20th century history as a high school project. But first, your backyard quiz.
Umulokai, Ulana, Umau, Ukahola.